Hey, welcome everybody to Table Talk. This is your healthy theological radio addiction. My name is Brent Kuhlman, and I'm here with Adam Moline and Clint Poppy. You know, our Lord has instituted three estates, or stations, I'll say estates, in which he works to take care of the world. There's the church, there's the home, and then there is civil authority. And in all three of those realms and all three of those estates, the Lord uses these estates and the people that he puts in them to care for the world, the family, the church, etc. We now live in a crisis in the United States. It's quite apparent over the last few weeks that the governing authorities are abdicating. I'm going to speak in general to make my point. They're abdicating their vocation to uphold the rule of law and to protect the citizens and the property of the citizens, not only in our city here in Lincoln, Omaha, but all throughout the nation, it appears, where the police are told to stand down, and so-called peaceful protesters always turns into anarchy, rioting, and destruction, and the police basically, again, to make my point, speaking in general, they either stand down because they've decided to or they've been told to stand down. And I fear for our country. I mean, I don't want to be too pessimistic because I know the Lord is very providential and he will continue to use these estates to protect things. But when you have people who purposely abdicate their vocation, and in fact, not just abdicate, but use their vocation to do the opposite. Instead of protecting citizens and their property, they use their vocation to divide and allow people to destroy. That's a whole different ballgame. And I think this is why we're in such a crisis situation, not only in our communities in Nebraska, but our entire country. What do you guys think about what's going on here?
I'll let Pastor... I'm.
Are you too emotionally involved with this? I mean, we don't want to make it ad hominem attacks here on people, no. but we make general statements to make our point here.
Yeah,
I'm very disheartened. I'm very disheartened that the rule of law apparently no longer exists in some part of our country, and that the rule of law, which is the hallmark of any civilized society, has been set aside for other agendas. And I have a friend here in Lincoln, just happens to be African-American, but I have a friend that he and I were discussing recently with regard to the protests, and he said, and I quote, "No meaningful protest takes place after dark."
It's like what parents tell their children. Nothing good happens after midnight.
Yes,
and when they go out on a date.
You know, when he said that to me, I was flabbergasted. You know, he said, "I'm aware of what's going on." He says, "But no meaningful protest happens after dark." I mean, and you think about that when there is a protest, even the sanctity of life protest that we encourage members of our congregation to consider lining up and down O Street.
Yeah, when we want to support life.
Yes, yes. We want to support life, yes. And a peaceful protest. You know, you don't do that at night because people don't see it. And I hadn't really thought about that before. So,
though,
you have these curfews and all these kind of things and the demonstrators that turn into rioters occasionally, they thumb their nose at the curfew, at the rule of law. So I'm disheartened.
The local news doesn't send a reporter to report live on the March for Life, though, either. They usually just ignore it, so it doesn't get broadcast into every home. I think what's happening, this is maybe a big topic to cover, and it's not necessarily theological, although it has ramifications for the church, but it's definitely cultural Marxism. You know, Marxism, the political, economic philosophy from the 19th century that divides people against one another with the idea that the one class will rise up and destroy the other class and take over everything. And, you know, that failed with Soviet Union. It failed with several other communist states and whatnot. But the ideas have been taken now and applied to cultural things, where instead of people who are economically repressed, now we think about people who are socially repressed, you know. So we have LGBTQ, we have men versus women, we have the different races against one another. We have all these things that are dividing us, and this is definitely what's happening. It's come to our modern world in a thing called conflict theory, which I think is what we're seeing played out right in front of us, and I think that's what's behind the people funding these protests. And let's be honest about it. It is being funded.
You know, a few weeks ago, I did a flyby history lesson of how Luther finally came to the conclusion that the papacy was the Antichrist. Do you remember? It was one of the letters that I quoted, whether to Wenceslaus Link or to Staupitz. I forget which one right now off the top of my head. But I'll paraphrase. Do you remember Luther said, he said, the papacy is the Antichrist because the gospel is, one of the reasons why is the gospel is now persecuted by the church itself. In other words, the gospel is now heresy in the church. And so I think what we're seeing civilly, because it's a parallel universe to what I just mentioned with Luther in his day, the parallel universe is, I think, our civic temporal realm now, where the Constitution and the rule of law is now declared to be heresy and criminal. So you have people on Twitter. And I could get on my phone and I could quote the names, but I'm not going to do that. People can, they know this. You can look this up. But you have people on Twitter, you have people on Instagram, etc., who flat out tell you what the game is. It's blank the Constitution, burn down the Constitution, and which I'm piggybacking on what you said.
It is.
So this is, in my opinion, this is one of the things that we're up against. We are up against people who who think. Not just think, but truly believe. It is a faith issue for these people. It is a religion. And I mean that. I'm saying those words on purpose. This is a matter of faith for them, and it is a religion. So, you know, when people say, well, I don't understand what's going on here, let me tell you what's going on here. This is a religion. It's a religion of Genesis 3. You shall be as God, and your words are more important and infallible, and you are divine, and you call the shots. So, here's what it looks like. The words of the United States Constitution and the rule of law is now called evil. And then what the rioters and the people who fund the rioters, which you're right, it is funded and it is on purpose. It's the same playbook that the Bolsheviks did at the turn of the last century to overthrow Tsarist Russia and institute the tragedy that we saw in Russia. Okay, with the Marxists, with Lenin, Stalin, etc.
Largest killer of the 20th century.
Yes, exactly. So this is what we are witnessing is a religion. It's a false religion, whereby man believes that he's God, and so he calls the shots. And again, I'm going to repeat this: the Constitution and the rule of law is said to be heresy and evil. And now with the rioters and the people who fund these people, the anarchists and the Marxists, etc., and all the front groups that go along with this, that'd be the Muslim Brotherhood, all this. And I'm saying this on purpose. I'm going to do another thing here so that nobody misunderstands what I'm saying. You know, the Islamists all over the world are kissing cousins of the left, the anarchists and the Marxists. In what way? Two ways. Number one, both Islamists and the left are totalitarian movements. The second thing that they have in common is that they have a common enemy. And the enemy is the Constitution of the United States, the rule of law, and Western civilization. So that's why I mentioned that name, Islamist Muslim Brotherhood. This is all hooked together here. Now, so again, to repeat, it is a religion. It is the false religion, is the satanic religion of Genesis 3, which says you shall be as God. And so the Constitution and the rule of law is said to be heresy. And now anarchy is said to be good. Destruction of property, good. Listen to the mayors when they talk. Listen to the police chiefs when they talk and hold press conferences. Watch how this works. They collapse. They wither under what the anarchists call now good, what the Marxists call good. So when the Marxists say, the Constitution be damned, the rule of law be damned, they say, oh, yeah, I guess they're right because, you know, they've got a point here. This is what we're, this is the new religion.
We need to listen to their message. That's the way they say it.
So I'm a little confused about this message. Apparently, we are supposed to believe that there is systemic racism in all of law enforcement in our country.
And not just law enforcement, but now with the New York Times and the 1619 movement, it isn't just systemic racism within the police. It is systemic racism in the midst of Western civilization in which the United States is included.
Okay, so this systemic racism is built in our society, white privilege, all these things. Yesterday, and you know, that sounds horrific. I don't know anyone that has watched the videotape of the George Floyd murder, and that's what it is. Sure. And isn't horrified
absolutely
by that.
Absolutely it is.
You have a rogue cop who commits murder, and he's been arrested, and I pray that the rule of law will have its way there. Yesterday on Twitter, very, very famous and popular black man from Ohio, Leonidas Johnson, you can follow him on Twitter, he tweeted out, "For every 10,000 black people arrested for violent crime, 3 are killed. For every 10,000 white people arrested for violent crime, 4 are killed. I am going to keep tweeting this out until someone can explain to me how it is possible that there is truly pervasive racial bias in policing."
Well, see, Clint, what you're trying to do.
These are facts.
Yeah, okay, now, okay. But see, we are dealing with people. I'm making a general statement to make the point. Facts don't matter to anarchists, Marxists, Islamists, who are, again, they're all in league on this. Don't doubt me on this. They are all in league together because they're both totalitarian movements and they both have a common enemy, which I just said. So facts don't matter. The only thing that matters, are you listening, everyone? The only thing that matters is the end. And what is the end? It is the elimination of what is. And what is a constitution and a rule of law and Western civilization. And however you get rid of it, and destroy it to replace it with what you now call good, that's what matters. Facts don't matter. See, if you quote facts, then you're a racist. You know, the ad hominem attacks come after you. Because the end justifies the means. This is the modus operandi. The end justifies the means. So, Clint, you can, till you're blue in the face, you can quote facts to these people. It doesn't matter. Because they have an end in mind. And so facts don't matter. That's what we're dealing. I'm just saying. I'm not. You understand what I'm saying?
Well,
this is what we're dealing with.
This is why it is so frustrating, because, you know, I'm to believe that there is this systemic racism problem built into our country. The facts don't bear that out,
right.
And I don't know what else. I don't know what else to do aside from looking at the statistics and saying the situation in Minneapolis was horrific, but it is not indicative of all police officers, not only in Minneapolis, but in the United States. I have a hard time wrapping my head around that, and this is where I need some help from you guys to help bring this, you know, some sanity to this.
Marlene's going to help us after the break, so come back.
You are listening to KNNALP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
All right, welcome back to Table Talk, your healthy theological radio addiction. And we're talking about what's going on in our country these days because, you know, we need to talk about these things and help people understand what they're up against. And before I let Adam give some excellent points regarding Clint's questions before we went to break, I want to just simply give a free advertisement to a man by the name of David Horowitz. David Horowitz has got to be 80 years old, 81, 82 by now. David Horowitz, if you haven't read his stuff, you need to read his stuff or get online and watch his videos. David Horowitz, he's an agnostic Jew. He grew up in a home in which his parents were Jew by culture, but they weren't practicing Jews. They were atheist Jews, but they lived in New York City. And they were card-carrying Marxists and communists. They were members of the Communist Party of the United States of America. And they actually had May Day parades. See, people don't know this. In New York City, after World War II, there were actually May Day parades in New York City of American communists having May Day parades like in Moscow. And their whole purpose was to overthrow the government of the United States and establish a utopian People's Republic Soviet Union in the United States. Now, just read his stuff, folks. It's very, very helpful. And of all people, an agnostic Jew at best, David Horowitz, knows Genesis 3. I'll bet he knows the Old Testament better than a lot of people who are Christians. And he can quote the Old Testament and get the gist of the Old Testament like I've been trying to say here in Genesis 3. In other words, my point is, David Horowitz has been in it. He knows the people in it. He got out of it. He's no longer in it. And he speaks against it. He knows of what he speaks. And he knows, he of all people, to repeat, an agnostic Jew, gets the theological diagnosis right on. He says it's Genesis 3. And what we're talking about here, what we're dealing with in the United States right now, is a religion. It is the false satanic religion of Genesis 3 when people think they can be God. All right, now, Adam, go.
Well, I got a quick question. Daniel Horowitz, how is he connected to David Horowitz?
Well, he writes for the web magazine that David Horowitz.
Relation?
No, I don't think so. They may be, but I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt it.
Okay. Because he's another one that throws out these ignored facts. The jail incarceration rate for black criminals dropped 30% to the lowest level since 1990, while white incarceration actually increased by 12% over the last decade. These are objective facts.
And Horowitz, David Horowitz knows all those facts as well.
That's where I think, I hope this comes across the right way. That's where I think you're playing into their hands. That's what they want you to look at, all those facts like that, and to throw them around, because then they can still use this idea of systemic issues against you. And all of these are red herrings. They're tools that they use to accomplish their means. And so right now the tool they're using is systemic racism. But you remember a while ago when there was school shootings, right? That's what they did. They went after all the people who owned guns are murderous thieves, and AR-15s are the weapons of Satan and things like this. Or they do it when with LGBTQ issues, right? Gay marriage. That one hasn't been used as much lately because now it's legal, right? But transgender things, every issue that exists, they use it as a tool to undermine society as a whole so that they can destroy it and recreate the one that they want to exist.
Which will be more tyrannical.
And
more racist, etc.
And that's historical fact, right? Yeah. So that's, if you look at the collapse of the Roman Republic and the rise of the Roman Empire, if you look at the French Revolution, you could go through several other examples of the same things happening. Once you get it out of control, they think they can keep it in control, but that's a lie. When it's out of control, it's out of control, and usually everybody ends up worse off than they were before.
I've said to people, if I had $1,000 for every time I've told people to study the French Revolution and the Reign of Terror, I could have retired a millionaire a long time ago. Let me, folks, I studied in Strasbourg, France last summer, and it was over last summer, and that was during Bastille Day. And it made me sick to my stomach how they celebrate Bastille Day in France. Why would I get sick? And literally, I'm not joking. I was sick to my stomach on Bastille Day when I was studying in Strasbourg last summer. Why? Because I know what those people did when they stormed the Bastille. I know what they did. Folks, if you don't know what they did, you need to do some historical research. It will make you sick. That what's going on in the United States today pales to what they did when they stormed the Bastille, and then you had the French Revolution and the Reign of Terror. Folks, we are headed towards something like this if the authorities in the United States don't step up to the plate and protect the citizens of the United States and their property.
Yeah, it's true. We need to be on the phone to our leaders and communicating this to them as much as we can. And it has, here's maybe where we can bring it back to this being a theological radio show.
Oh, it's Marxism, been theological the whole time.
Well, I know it is, but I mean, it sounds political. Where we need to bring it back maybe is this. Should they succeed? Should society collapse? Should Marxism increase and become the norm? That has never been a friend to Christianity. In fact, within the framework of Marxism, communism, and much of socialism is the idea that the church is no longer needed and it's persecuted and removed. And that's what may be ahead for us if we don't change the course we're on.
Right. So let's push it further. I'm glad you mentioned this. So we have our Lord's promise. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church, and he will have his church.
Yes.
And he will have his Christians. And the irony, of course, as I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Read the book of Revelation, read the book of Acts, etc., and you'll understand what I'm talking about. I'll use this analogy. When you take a hammer and you put the nail against the board and you start hammering the nail, the harder you hit the nail, the deeper you drive it. And that's exactly so. I don't despair. People may get the wrong impression. I don't despair because I know the Lord Jesus Christ has won the victory. He is the Lamb who was slain and who reigns. And he is the Lord. And people can do, princes can do all they want to try and destroy the church and destroy
the nation's rage.
Yeah, but they won't do it. Instead, the more they hit Christianity, like the hammer hits the nail, the deeper they're going to drive Christianity, which means what? Christianity's going to spread all the more. More people are going to believe. And it's going to, all the silliness and the triteness and the foolishness of Christianity in this country, and we are awash in it. Just watch the big mega churches on TV and the radio. I mean, it is trite, it is silly, it is frivolous. That stuff will die. Do you remember the parable of the sower? You know? You have the seed that was sown on shallow ground, and you know it was the word was received with great joy and eagerness. I've experienced this in my ministry all the time, and so have you. But when all of a sudden, when the scorching heat of the persecution comes, and that's what Jesus says, it dies. So on the one hand, we don't despair because the Lord will have his church. And on the other hand, this trivial Christianity that we've lived in America for so many decades and generations now, that's all going to be taken away. It's all going to die.
Pastor, we've been talking, you know, for the last 3 months now with regard to the end times and the second article of the Apostles' Creed. Yeah. And all of these things for weeks now we've talked. When people come up and say, we have a global pandemic, we have riots in the streets, not only in the United States, but it's spreading throughout the world. Surely these are signs of the
yes,
end
they
of
are.
The world.
Yes, they are.
How do you react to that, and how would you encourage the listeners, people who cling to Christ and his word and his promises, how would you encourage them to react and to live in light of everything that's going on in the world?
Number one, that there will be a last day. And, of course, this is the big satanic lie that most people run with, is that there will be no last day and there will be no last judgment. And there will never be a final reckoning. Most people in general don't. They live with that falsehood. I'm going to repeat it. So we need to teach people the truth, that there will be a last day and that there will be a last day judgment and there will be a final reckoning. Okay? Therefore. And see, the New Testament's very clear on this. Jesus is clear on this. The apostles are clear on this. Because there's going to be a last day judgment, then how will you live now? And how are we to live now? Well, we are to be repented by our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we are to be faithed through his preaching of the gospel. And then also through his word, his Holy Spirit-filled word, we as Christians want to lead holy lives according to that word, which is the life of prayer. It's the life of being active in our communities, in love and helping people. Like if a business is burned down in our neighborhood, if a house is burned down by these anarchists, by these animals, they're animals, then we actually go and help them clean up, you know, clean up the mess. Do you need some money? Can we help you with this? Can we help you restore your house, your business? By the way, side note. I think it was one of I may be wrong here, but I'll just generalize to me. If a police officer or a police chief during a press conference is asked about, well, what should an owner of a business do? Should they defend their property? What would they do? And if a police officer says, well, let them destroy the building and then they can collect their insurance. We as Christians should go and tell that police chief, you need to resign immediately. Your job is to protect this business, to protect this home.
And it's theft again, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's not... There is insurance, and it's there for when these things happen, when a building burns down. But when someone causes that to happen, and we just say, well, insurance will pay for it, that's theft, because then it makes my insurance rate goes up. It makes your insurance rate goes up.
And the police chief, by a sin of omission, is responsible for the burning of the house. And if somebody dies, he is guilty of murder. You see, so you ask, what should we do? In love, we need to protect people. We need to stand up for the rule of law as citizens of our country, and stand up for the Constitution. Enough of this, oh, I can't do anything. Yeah, you pray and you work. You do your vocation as a father and a mother, as a church member, as a citizen. See, this is the thing. We need to talk more about being a citizen. What does it mean to be a citizen of a country and a community? It means, all right, you elected officials, you who violate your vocation, we're going to pray that God either repents you or God removes you. And we need to talk to them when they have town halls.
And when you talk about removing, you're not talking about...
Not violent.
Violent removal.
We're talking about them being voted out.
Elections, recalls.
Being voted out.
The ballot box.
Exactly.
Pastor...
impeached if we have to.
What about a Christian who is horrified by injustice, as we all are?
All right. That's an excellent question.
And a Christian who is horrified by injustice, in addition to praying and supporting and praying the imprecatory psalms and all that kind of stuff, can a Christian in good conscience participate in a peaceful protest?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely you can.
So we're not telling people to be quietists. I think that's the term.
Not at all. But in connection with this, there's a reality that... There's the suffering of the cross. You can pray, you can work, be faithful to your vocation, you can take part in peaceful protests for just causes and for justice, true justice, okay? Not false, true justice. But you may suffer for that. And then you may be arrested, you may be put in jail. What do? Well, you suffer it. Our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us what it means to just simply suffer the injustice and then to commit ourselves into our Father's care. Father, into your hands I commit myself, my soul, my body, and all things we pray in the evening prayer, don't we, the Catechism? Well, stay Lutheran, my friends. Hope this was helpful. Bye-bye.